Ocean FM.
Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samson and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs. And sponsors of the Donegal GAA podcast.
Hello, people of Donegal, we have done it!
Well, it's just fabulous to see him alive and up and picking her up.
Jenny's one of my teams. Jenny's one of you.
The thing about the club is you don't choose your club. It's like family.
You want to get back out on the field. It's just that it's in your blood, I suppose. And you just want to get out there now and get the games going again.
Brian Murray, let me shake hands with you. You came in here hobbling. How are you feeling now?
Oh, I'm all right. I'll tell you nothing but a couple of pints, won't you? I'll tell you, you know.
He gets the foot behind it. He launches it in. It's over the bar. The wee man from Kintyre.
Yes, and welcome to the Sunday night edition of the Donegal GAA podcast. Paddy McGill here, coming from Celtic Park in Derry, a ground where Donegal have won twice in 8 days, this time against Tyrone by 18 points to 16 after extra time. Donegal will now play Armagh in the Ulster final in 2 weeks' time. It's a busy show. We hear from Donegal manager Jim McGuinness, Donegal players Niall O'Donnell and Michael Langan. We also touch base with Eamon McGee, Gary McDade, Gordon Manning. But first, though, the commentary team today on Ocean FM consisted of Mark McHugh and Peter Campbell. And here are the two lads' thoughts in the immediate aftermath of Donegal's win.
What a performance by the lads. You know, it didn't probably go all the way they wanted to go today for them. A normal time in the first half especially, but they grinded it out, and that shows a good team, you know, to be fair. They're out on their feet after what they put in against last week against Derry, and I know, to be fair, Tyrone did the same thing against Cavan last week, and we spoke about it. It's not fair to have them out in a short time like that, but what a performance, what a spectacle for Ulster football again, you know, after what happened last weekend. But the lads, you know, they stuck by it. They grinded it out. Peter spoke about the third quarter. That's where we come back into the game. We were 3 down at half time and normal time. Extra time, really, you know, Patrick Brady stood up in that second half, kicked that massive score at the end. He kicked a free. Shane O'Donnell probably the goal chance now. It was a great score now. But, other men, Ryan even coming out of the ball there at the end when they kicked it out. And, you know, we kind of kept the ball there in that second half a lot easier, I suppose, when Tyrone couldn't press. But, fantastic result for Donegal. Ulster final, here we come.
Yeah, well, I think we have to mention Jason McGee. I think he was super in the second half and in extra time. His ability to win high balls, and how many frees did he win as well? Like he was the outlet for Gavin Mullaney when things were very, very tough. He really stood up today. I thought he was very good against Derry. I thought he was even better today. Yeah. And like he's a mountain of a man, and that's what we need going forward. But you know what these young players what they'll take from this game, you know, a lot of them haven't experienced this level of support from Donegal as well.
True.
So look at this field, look, it's covered with Donegal people. Like they came in their numbers today, and for a long period, and I was here with Brendan Riley, and he said he was more nervous about today than he was last week. Yeah. And I think that was maybe reflected all of Donegal, because the pressure was on us today. We were going to come in as favourites, and I think they stood up to that. It wasn't pretty at times, and they had to work really, really hard to get it to extra time. But you know, in extra time, I think possibly Tyrone, as you say, very, very unfair on them to have to play extra time, and it showed at the very, very end. They didn't have that. They had a lob into the goals for a hopeful goal, but apart from that, I think we dominated extra time. We probably had 3 or 4 chances in the first period of extra time. We could have been maybe out of sight at half time and extra time, but like they stuck to it, and not as slick, or maybe not the energy that they had last week. But all you need is at the end is the W. They've got the win.
I think you know, on days that just everything doesn't go well for you, like it didn't in that first half, like they dug deep, and that's and you know, in that whole game to crawl it back. You know, we're 3 points down at half time. We came out in the third quarter, got it back level. Tyrone then went 3 points up again, remember? And we dug it in again, and we got the real, you know, obviously 2 minutes to go in normal time. I was nervous sitting here because I didn't feel like we were going to get the score.
Especially when we had that chance that we went for the goal, the pattern moving.
That's what I thought. You know, yeah. after after that went, I thought it was curtains, Peter. But listen, to be fair to the lads, Brent McCall, what is he doing up there, as I said? I don't know, but thank God he was up there and he tapped the ball over the bar. And that's it. You know, once Tyrone went to extra time last week, you know, we felt probably that we were, you know, that wee bit fitter, and it probably just showed that. And I feel sorry for Tyrone, actually, because they had to do that. And that's another day's conversation. But that, as you said, that young team, like, you know, to a man again, put in a wild shift today. Jim McGuinness, they brought men off, they brought men on, they brought men off again, and they brought men on again. You know, and like, that's what you need when it comes to this level, you know. And, you know, men can't be too disappointed. We speak about Patrick McBurney there. You know, maybe he was disappointed to be taken off. He came back on and he ended up winning the game for us. Mm-hmm. That's what we need to stick. But, you know, going through the team, Brent McCall kept Darragh Canavan to 2 points from play. That's not an easy thing to do. Also, Mark Curran, Darragh McCurry, I don't think, did he have even a shot at goals today? You know, what a performance by the two of them. Look at it. We spoke, our half-back line wasn't going well the first half. It wasn't, you know, and Ryan's part of that halfback line, and but they came to life the second half, and I think we needed Patrick Morgan, Keane McGonigal, and Ryan McHugh, the three of them, and that's where we found our energy. I think you spoke about Jason McGee. I thought he was by a mile our best player in the second half and an extra time as well. Overall, maybe I thought maybe Niall O'Donnell got on a lot of ball.
Yeah, the two O'Donnells,
got on a lot of ball. Niall probably a wee bit ahead of him. Inside then, you know, the boys tapped the scores. We tapped the freeze down, and we got two points. He came off and he came back on again. Listen, it was a performance by everybody involved again. Let's speak about Gavin Mulroney. Like, the man was probably thrown in the deep end this week. Once Sean Patton never started a championship match before. He did nothing wrong, maybe bar a wee short kick out in the first half, but everything else he did right. So listen, all I can do as a Donegal fan is congratulate them and really, really look forward now to an Ulster final in two weeks' time. We haven't had that luxury, you know, in the last few years, but from where we were this time last year, boys, it's a great day for Donegal.
Yeah, can I ask you on that, both? Is 12 months ago we lost to Down, I think, who had just been promoted from Division 3, isn't that right? And have I there right? Yeah, I think I have. Mm-hmm. And what, but 200 Donegal supporters up in Newry that day. Here we are after beating a side who, Derry last week, you know, who had won Division 1 of the National League, going for 3 in a row in Ulster. Many people's favourites, or certainly second, third favourites for the All-Ireland. A totally different type of win today, but geez, to say a week's a short time, so is a year in sport, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And like, for those players to have now, they'll have the 2 weeks of their lives now. They'll probably go away next weekend, and Jim McGuinness will have the 2 weeks to prepare for what will be probably an even bigger challenge than today, because Armagh, a different team altogether, probably bigger physically and more physical team than Tyrone. But he has the 2 weeks to prepare for that. And these supporters have 2 weeks to revel in Donegal being back at the top table again. Like, as you said last year, we lost in Down, then we went and beat Clare, and we got over Monaghan. And lost to Derry, and you know, we lost out to Tyrone then in a preliminary quarter final, but it was flat the whole year. Like, there wasn't that much support to the team, but you know, that team probably did as well as they could with the personnel that they had. Like, they have a lot of the bigger players back this year. Ryan Patrick, the O'Donnells, like, that's a huge influx. And then young Kieran Moore came in and made the thing his own. Probably not as much to the fore today as in other games. Made a couple of great breaks, but it maybe was intercepted once near the end and was taken off after that. But you know, he has learned an awful lot about what Ulster Championship football is about, and all those younger fellas. Great to see Kieran McColgan back on the field for extra time as well, and like, he's vital to us going forward. We need all those. We'll need them all before this summer is out, because apart from an Ulster final now, we're going to be guaranteed either tier 1 or tier 2 in the last 16.
Yeah, that's massive.
And that's massive. Now we could meet some of these teams again. Tyrone and Derry will be tier 3. If we can win Ulster, we'll probably have our first game at home in the last 16 as well, which, you know, and we'll be playing a tier 4 team, which, you know, that's what Jim McGuinness is aiming at. We couldn't believe that we'd be here about 2 weeks ago. We just couldn't believe that we would be going for an Ulster final. From the half of the draw that we're coming from, to beat Derry in this park and then come back and beat Tyrone today. And I know we've maybe struggled to get over the line today, but in the end, I think we were worthy winners. I don't think anyone would say that we didn't deserve it. And that's the vital point. And, you know, the work that Jim will do with these lads and improve them again for 2 weeks' time, I think they'll be up and ready for an Ulster final.
Oh, yes, my thanks once again to Peter Campbell and Mark McHugh. Lads, I was never a good footballer. I'll say that much, but I am absolutely out of breath. I don't know how you two did it, even watching that. Lads, what a pulsating game. I am delighted to be joined by Gary McDade, of course, Glen Swally manager, and Eamon McGee, All-Ireland winner with Donegal in 2012. Eamon, I would say it was easier playing, was it, than watching?
It's horrible being in this situation. It's horrible watching on. And, you know, you're tensing and you're going through every play there. And, you know, I just feel a wild, immense pride, you know, looking at Patter Mogan going again, and he's out on his feet, and then he's managing to keep going, and like Jason McGee's the same, and this is what it means, sport, you know, to see the 15, 20 players that play out there, to give that effort, like, you just forget about the result, just to see the pride and that effort, and I say it was very hard to watch, but thankfully the lads came through it.
That's mad you said pride. I genuinely was exactly the word that I was going to come in with next, because there's a million tactical things we can talk about, Gary, but my emotion is pride as well.
Aye, listen, we were talking before we came on there, and we were just saying that, you know, that you didn't have that last year, and it was nice to see that looking out in the pitch. Now the pitch is just flooded with Donegal people, and to see a green and gold out there, and the pride is definitely back in the jersey. We were in a bad place last year, and we've put that back in the jersey now. Listen, there's probably, like Eamon said there, there's a lot of things maybe from the neutral wouldn't be too happy looking on there today, but from a Donegal point of view, we're back in the Ulster final. 12 months ago, we didn't look as if we're anywhere near that.
It felt for long periods, going back to the first 70, him and Tyrone were just keeping us at arm's length. And every time, even in the second half, we came back and we punched holes and got back to level or point down. Morgan and Coe and Donnelly, they always seemed to go one up. So I think we're happy enough even going to extra time, weren't we?
Oh, Jeannie Mac, like, if you asked me at half time, I just didn't see where it was coming from. Where, like, Tyrone presented a problem and we just didn't have the answers for it. And you look at the way Tyrone, and in fairness, they had their homework done, the way they shut down the air players like Sakilan, McGonagall, Ryan didn't have an effect until later on. You have to give credit to Ryan the way he just got through it now, because he's getting tight attention.
He finished strong, didn't he?
For me, you know, Niall O'Donnell probably man of the match overall. That's the initial call. But for me, you know, if any player wants to take how to game manage, how to boss a game, you know, forget about the way he took the ball off Gavin Mulroney for the free kick and says, I'm taking that, we'll go short. Just the way he worked the ball in extra time and the way he was an option, and I just thought that's there's a lot to learn in terms of game management there.
I thought we deserved it, Eamon. I know, right, like, I've marked here 15 wides. Now we're wondering, did we miss one or not, but we're not sure. It was either 14 or 15 wides, and some bad wides as well, but we showed character and character and character to keep coming back.
Listen, this team is in the process of, you know, you think about last year, this team is in the process of rebuilding, and you get days like that where you have to test the character. Tyrone, as it says, presented a problem, didn't go all our way, and we were in a hole there, but geez, we kept going. You know, you have to remember a year ago we lost to Down, an average Down side, so we're in an Ulster final, and we'll definitely take it there.
Who's good for you today, Gary?
Listen, probably if you go back to maybe what Tyrone did, you know, Seanie Donald came on to Ryan McHugh and tried to snuff him out, and eventually Ryan got the better of him late in the game, back up Eamon's point, and, like, you know, when he really managed the game late on. I thought Tyrone were probably the biggest winners watching us last week. I mean, they took away Donegal's two strengths, which was their own kick-out. Like, they hardly pressed it the whole game. I think we might have got one over the 65. They took away the turnover against us. So Donegal had to break Tyrone down today. And, you know, for a long time, they struggled to do that. Some people might even say they struggled to do it for the whole time. Like, looking back last week against Derry, they didn't have to break Derry down once, because Derry allowed them to play when Donegal play with 15 behind the ball and play that blanket defence, it's exciting if the opposition do what Derry did last week. Tyrone didn't do that. They came out and copied Donegal, took away the kick out, didn't press it, and didn't give any turnovers. And it was, you know, both teams just blanket defence. And it was, you know, for the neutral looking on, it definitely wasn't exciting. And you can see why the likes of Jim Gavin's football review committee's in place.
We don't care. And final point, I know you're both on duties elsewhere. So what Gary's saying there, 100% correct. A completely, completely different type of win.
Completely different type of one, but it says it's you nearly think back to the Kildare game in our time, if you're making a comparison here, where, you know, at times the game looked to be going away from us, and it was just one of them games, as Jim says, takes a life of its own. But we've got through a different type of test, and we're just happy to be looking forward to an Ulster final. It says, you know, it's, when you look out in the field here, where myself and Gary were just looking at it, to see the Donegal supporters out there, you know, happy and gathered around the players, makes me happy. Makes me happy, was I just want Donegal to be at the top table, and, you know, giving the supporters and giving them themselves the big days out. So it's pride is the big overriding emotion this evening.
That's the last one, and I'll give it to you. And Gary, I'm going to ask you one more question. I know you're in other duties, Eamon. We said that last week on the show, as I think it was Klopp and many Liverpool famous managers said, sport's not the most important thing, but it's the most important thing of the least important things. People are maybe in jobs they don't like, people have tough things going on in life, people are sick, and sport can be a great release, can't it, for everybody. And I don't like throwing in the word mental health, you know, when it's mentioned in that context, but I'm just making the point, just general day-to-day happiness, it can be a lovely distraction as well. We're seeing hundreds of young kids out getting autographs like they did when you were playing. It's about putting that smile on people's faces. It's wonderful, isn't it?
100%. You know, you look at Jason McGee's out there with a crowd of young Jay supporters, and, you know, look, think of the smile, the fact that they got a picture with Jason McGee. They enjoy the atmosphere, they enjoy the result, and they get a picture with a great ambassador, someone who's actually, you know, by right, Jason, if that was a Premier League, they're just straight off the field, they've played extra time. Jason's sitting out there so tired, so fatigued, and he's doing that there, and he's giving of his time, and they'll go home happy, and that's just passing the torch to the next generation.
Eamon McGee, I really, really appreciate you joining me here on the Donegal GAA podcast. A wonderful, wonderful player and a great analyst as well. And just to follow up from that, Gary, it's one of the, and still in great shape, I have to say as well. And these are, and I know some people listening to the podcast maybe from outside Donegal say, they're losing their run of themselves. We're in an Ulster final, but again, we left Newry last year, Gary, you and I were chatting that day, and before and after, and those were dark days, and I don't care what happens from the Ulster final, you have to enjoy these ones, you have to enjoy the beaten Derry, because there's no point otherwise, is there?
No, definitely not, you know, and when you're winning matches, it makes it a lot easier, and a lot of people don't care how you won. You know, when you're involved with your own county and watching, supporting them, it doesn't really matter if it's won by a point and goes to extra time. You know, it was looking like penalties even for a long stage as well. Thankfully, it didn't go down. That we managed to see it out.
We would have been an Anthony Galvin.
I thought we looked really strong in extra time, and maybe we looked a bit fresher and stronger than Tyrone. No, they had to go to extra time last week. I'll say maybe all these wee things added up late in the game, Paddy, in the extra time, because we got away from them a wee bit easier in the extra time. They were really going down. They were falling left, right and centre much more than our lads. And I think it was interesting the way we used our subs as well. It was almost like roll-on, roll-off subs.
That's what I said as well.
It was almost like Aussie rules style. So it was in, out. They used about maybe four players. I thought Paddy McBurdy, Darrell Bale, when they came back in, I probably wouldn't have taken them off the first time. I thought Darrell was probably one of our best forwards when he was taken off that time. He scored 2 points, so he did really well when he came back in extra time. He seems to be in a real rich vein of form. I thought last year probably was his best ever year for Donegal, and he's followed that up. I know, and you have to admire Darrell Bale when we were so low last year that he still performed at those levels, you know, it was very easy to jump ship last year and let the ship go down. Darragh Whale didn't do that. He stayed and put his shoulder to the wheel. I thought Jason McGee was immense today. You were asking who's good. I thought for such a big man, his footwork is unbelievable. The way he gets ducks and dives and he's like a twinkle toes in there. He's able to wheel around and manoeuvre his way around the D beautifully.
I thought Morgan had some brilliant moments as well, and I thought Ryan McHugh, as Eamon said, in the last 30 minutes, his game management was really good. Paddy McBurney kicked a wonderful score at the end, and that's a sign of a top player. Niall O'Donnell, I thought, was unreal today. I would say no Donegal player seen more of the ball than Niall O'Donnell. It was just his ability, the movement. He was switching from the left to the right when Tyrone were congesting that area between the 21-45. He set up so many attacks. And let's be honest as well, Gary, there was a couple of goal chances we had as well. Opted for the points, and that's fine. And I thought Jack McKelvey finally was brilliant when he came on. I thought he made a big difference.
Huge, because, you know, Jack came in for direct replacement for Mark Curran, you know, and I had that written down in my own notes as well, that he made a huge difference coming in because he's much more of a ball player, so he is. He looks to get on the ball. He got a score on the board as well. When you watch him for Glenties, that's what he does. He's one of their top players who makes things happen. He can make things happen on the pitch. Like, you know, when the likes of Niamh Connell and Glenties go out to play some of the other big teams, they always man-mark Jack because he knows they know he can make things happen. Probably here at an inter-county level, Jack's much more further down the pecking order for the opposition, so he's going to get that time and space so he is in that he probably doesn't get so much anymore in county level. But it was exemplary, so he was.
Just finally, Ulster final now against Armagh in 2 weeks' time. I think we just need to enjoy this for 3 or 4 days. Armagh poor so far in the championship, but dare I say, we've seen many times in the last few years the team maybe that's been poor getting to the final and has had the easier route sometimes can come out on top. We actually saw on 13, Donegal took out some big guns, lost the Ulster final. Yeah. Monaghan had actually a harder route in 14 than we took out Monaghan. Right. Same happened in 15. That can happen. Armagh will be, in a way, delighted. Yeah. They'll be written off going into this, and that's always dangerous.
Yeah. Definitely, you know, and they probably really do need an Ulster Championship. You know, that group of players, and Geezer probably needs that Ulster Championship, you know, for himself as well. Because, you know, it's been tough on them pros as a group. They've never had any silverware, and they're going to use, I would say, that National League final against Donegal as this is revenge. You know, they'll never mention revenge in the media or out there, but that will be talked about. They'll watch that video a lot, but I think they'll have learned a lot from our two games. They'll learn not to play like Derry did, you know, and they'll learn, right, we just do what Tyrone did. We take away their kick out. Okay, and we don't get turned over, because that was the two ways we destroyed Derry. You know, if you look at today and yesterday's game, Armagh down, go down the home straight, Armagh got into injury time, game level, looking for the winner. I thought the way they worked, the winner was brilliant. That dink ball inside, man off the shoulder, got the score. You know, for a long time there today, we struggled to break it down, and then Ryan McHugh, just in a pure foot race. Okay, that was talking about, he went down and went at him and got the shot off. I know it was half blocked down, but that led to, it was almost a goal chance. Brendan McCall, he was up there for some reason, you know. He did brilliant in Canavan.
He's brilliant, you know, Brendan McCall. And I feel bad I haven't even mentioned it. Brilliant again.
He probably doesn't suit to Mark, you would think, Derek Canavan, because he's much taller and everything. And Canavan's like a small and lower centre of gravity, but he did brilliant on him. And he gets up the field afterwards and gets a point to make sure, you know, it was crucial for us in the game to get us to extra time.
Just great to be talking about football again. Now, I know you talk about football from Christmas Day to Christmas Day. Yeah. But what I mean is, just huge support here back today. Final one on that. Wasn't that brilliant to see? Wasn't it? It was like a home game.
Well, you know, and we're only on the road, especially us in North Donegal anyway. You know, it's only about 35 minutes, 40 minutes from the Glen, and here, and it's half an hour from Letterkenny. I was chatting to somebody there, and they were saying that each county got 5,000 tickets, and Tyrone handed 2,000 of theirs back, and we got those 2,000, Paddy. So it was a sea of green and gold out there today. You know, I'm just looking down at Gavin Mulroney. He's getting a photograph of all his family or club people down there. Like, it's great to see that the players are still out in the field. Listen, you know, the good thing is, Paddy, we have 2 weeks of a build-up, so we can enjoy this one and that this week, and then we can build up to the Ulster final next week.
Okay, thanks to Eamon and Gary there. Up next, it's Jim McGuinness, the Donegal manager, followed by Michael Langan and Niall O'Donnell. Here is McGuinness talking to various reporters.
Ulster Championship, that's the bottom line. I suppose that's why you love playing in it. That's why you love taking teams into it. It's it asks a hell of a lot of questions off you, you know. And we were in that spot at half time, drone brilliant in terms of game plan, asking all the right questions, not allowing us, you know, to get into a flow. They had chat with the goalkeeper coming out and over the top. So very pleasing from our point of view that, you know, we found a way to win it. And I think from the half time period onwards, we grew into the game a lot better. We kept the ball a lot better. We found those moments a lot better. Our decision making was much better. Can still improve, certainly. But I felt that the longer the game went on, the more confident I felt that we could actually get over the line, even though it was one of those games that ended up just being a cliffhanger all the way. But just absolutely delighted. You know, Derry, we had a massive battle here with Derry. We've had a massive battle today with Tyrone, and we're going to have another one now. There's no doubt about that. We'll have another one with Armagh in the final.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Jim, was there a bit of a hangover from last week, do you think, in that first half?
No, not at all, not at all. No, listen, Tyrone analysed as well. They asked the right questions off us. It was up to us to come together and find solutions. The boys did that, you know. They controlled the ball a lot better in the second half. They found those pockets a lot better. And they grew into the game, you know. So, no, listen, that's the nature of it. Down done the exact same thing to Armagh last night. Made the game and played the game in a way that it made it challenging and difficult for Armagh. And Armagh ultimately, you know, found the solution. So this is why it's so amazing to win the Ulster Championship, because this is what you face every single week. And this is why players love playing in it. And when, you know, if you can eventually get over the line, you've earned it, you know. That's why it's such a good competition.
Are you content enough to be only 3 points behind at half time, Jim? Because we seem to waste quite a number of good chances.
They were asking the right questions of us, you know. They were asking the right questions of us. They were pushing us to the perimeter. You know, they challenged us in a lot of different ways. And it was up to us then just to take a step back at half time and try and solve some of those problems, and thankfully the boys were able to do that in the second half.
Jim, you went 3 points down the second half after coming back to one, so they were asking questions then, but the great reaction from the lads from that to the end.
I didn't feel as apprehensive in that moment, you know, at half time. You know, there was a lot of questions being asked and we had to find solutions at the, you know, the second period and the second half. You just felt, no, that there's something here in this game for us. If we can just hold the head, be composed, play with each other, you know, keep moving. Like, there's a lot of tired bodies there. Both teams, like, Tyrone put everything into that. We did the same. So it's just brilliant to come through.
Yeah, some excellent scores and some fantastic performances right throughout the pitch there.
Listen, it takes every single player in your group to try and get over a game like that. And the squad was well tested in rotations and so delighted with that part of it. And we'll obviously have to enjoy tonight. Or this evening, and then really double down and focus on Armagh then.
Ten years since you were in an Ulster final, Jim. How's it feel to be back in one?
It feels great. It feels absolutely amazing. You know, it's the pinnacle for people. You know, in this part of the country, it's the pinnacle to go and play in an Ulster final. It's a very, very special day, and Clonus will always be a very special occasion for everybody that has that opportunity. So we're delighted with that, and we want now to, you know, try and do our best in 2 weeks' time.
Just a final one from me, Jim. You used the bench very interestingly there today, taking people off, putting them back on again. What was that all about?
Oh, listen, if you've got 2.5 hours, Charlie, I could talk you through it. There was that many changes, you know, but that's what you have a squad for. That's what you try and build a squad.
Jim, you talked about the questions they asked you. Were they the questions you expected to be asked by them? Or did anything about them surprise you?
No, not really, no. Listen, obviously we scored the goals the last day, and a lot of the goals came in transitional moments, so we knew that those questions were going to be asked. Tyrone just kept the ball very well, you know. They were very patient themselves, you know. They looked like a team that had won in All-Ireland a couple of years ago. The smarts, they understood what the game was all about. They understood that they're good enough to get into this type of an environment and play that type of a game, Cahir, and ask those questions. There is no easy teams, there's no easy situations. You just have to kind of, sometimes you have to suck it up, and then you've got to find a way then to try and respond to it, and that's what a lot of the first half is about.
From a tactical point of view, are the last 7 days tougher than the last 6 months before? Because you're now the team on the pedestal and you're the team being analysed, as opposed to the reverse.
I wouldn't agree with that, like, in the sense that, like, you know, at this level now, every team's analysed. You know, there's not a team in the country that isn't analysed to a very, very deep level, you know. So, no, I wouldn't look at it like that. But from our point of view, like, you know, we've gone into two really big games with a lot of young players coming into the group as well. And we've managed to find a way to keep on winning. And we probably, you know, we're fortunate enough to be able to do that during the league as well. So it has given us a brilliant opportunity now, and hopefully we can take it.
It has been said a lot in the last few years, very difficult to win anything significant from outside Division 1. But it's the two Division 2 finalists that are in the Ulster final.
Aye, and listen, we were Division 2 champions in 2011 as well, and we won the Ulster Championship, you know. So no, we won't be thinking that way. 2 weeks will feel like 3 months for us now in terms of preparation for this one, and a lot of the analysis is already done because we played them twice already. So we're not starting from zero, you know. Like, we didn't play Tyrone this year, you know, in the league. So we have an opportunity now to quickly get up to speed with Armagh, and obviously that works two ways, you know.
For all the analysis, Jim, Brenton McColl was the man who did the damage at the end with the equaliser and Ryan's cross. So big moment in the whole day.
Huge, and like, I suppose the modern game now is defenders need to be able to attack and attackers need to be able to defend. You know, and there's a lot of commentary about that, and there's a lot of commentary about, you know, bodies back and everything. But you know, when you're setting out your stall and you're trying to come up with a game plan now, it's not really about you in many respects. And I've said this before, you know, if you have a team that want to attack with 15, then you're going to be penned back, because you can see there today one extra player will find the overlap. So if you've got a goalkeeper that's going to step into the middle of the park and ask that question, your whole structure is going to be pulled back anyway. And that's the way the game has gone, you know. So that's something that you have to deal with in real time. And then to compound that problem, then you have somebody like Niall Morgan, who is absolutely exceptional, who can play ball, he can step in, you know, he can see those passes inside, you know. So yeah, all of these things will come to bear, I'm sure, in a fortnight's time as well.
And finally for me, you were going for goal, Aidan Clark made the interception. Were you worried then that was your last throw of the dice or not?
No, I just felt, you know, we must find a way. We must find a way. And I suppose a part of that was built on the fact that we did improve the whole way through the second half and into the extra time. So you're thinking, if you were still continuing to make bad mistakes in decision making, then that's a harder place to be. But I just felt that we were moving in the right direction all the time, and that something would fall for us eventually, you know.
So what about the character Patrick showed there in extra time? Come back in off the bench, he missed a couple during the day, like scored two in extra time, the character, yes, including the winner, like.
Definitely. And you know, we need Patrick, and we need everybody else that can carry a threat. We need them going well. But you know, everybody will have good days and bad days, and days when things just doesn't fall for you, or the ball doesn't bounce for you. But it was brilliant to be able to look at the bench there at full time and say that, you know, that he could go back in. And Dara, you know, we were trying to put Dara into reverse in real time, because he had just kicked a really good score, and we had decided we were going to make the substitution a couple of minutes before that, but the sub got on, you know, before that. So listen, you need all those fellas, and they'll all be needed again the next time. I pretty much precautionary, to be honest with you. Like, you know, he was thereabouts, and we didn't feel it was one of those ones that if we did play him, you know, the way he plays and the way he likes to strike the ball, that, you know, it could have put him in a situation where he could miss much, much more. But no, he'll be fine.
Was he still in the match day 26?
He was.
Well, he did very, very little in the warm up.
Like, he did serious. Well, that's what happens when you're carrying a knock. We weren't expecting sprints.
Is he?
No, he is. He'll be okay. I would imagine.
Jim, does that impact your planning and preparation for the week beforehand? Because obviously you have Sean in goals, but when you realise he's not fit to play and you have to put Gavin, is there much of a tear up the script and completely
really
change, or like Gavin's obviously exceptional?
No, not really. You'll have your own plans for what you want to do things, and hopefully some of them plans are processes. And you know, it's a matter of both keepers and the third keeper as well all understanding what you want to do and what you want to achieve in certain situations. And so yeah, no, listen, it's just a matter of really, in a game like that, when you're being given the shout, it's a matter of holding the head and being steady and just, you know, giving as much confidence as you can to the defence, and equally the defence giving as much confidence as they can to the goalkeeper and talking and communicating with him.
How about Huey?
Huey, he's an issue with the sciatica nerve, and so I had sciatica myself, and these are, you know, it's a thing that it can just disappear within minutes if you get the right person to, you know, to work through it, and we've been doing that fairly relentlessly the last couple of days. It didn't clear up for him, and so it was pulling on him a wee bit. So all going well, you know, he should be fine, but again, we'll have to try and solve that problem.
Yeah, so Keelan McCaughan wasn't in the register 26. What's the process then? When does he get brought in?
Well, there's another four outside that. Yeah. There's another four outside that. So you're trying to see how long you can go before you make a call, before, you know, and then he came in and he played in the game the way the game fell, you know. So yeah. That's what a squad's for, I suppose.
Forgive me if I'm wrong. Sorry, Orlick, forgive me if I'm wrong on this, Jim, but just, did Gavin play a club game last night, Gavin Moraney? Like, and what's the thinking behind? Maybe I'm wrong on that, but did he?
Well, I hope, yeah.
somebody said Jim, that inside. Jim, I just thought I'd ask.
Dahi
played, right. That's right. Well, there we go then. That's
one of your
colleagues.
Take
that question.
Is that you?
No. In terms of the Sean Patton call, when do you sort of, and like, because we're always here to go, give him, like, right?
No, listen, a lot of the time, Chris, those decisions are made by the player. Like, you know, like Huey pretty much made the decision himself. He says, I can't just go on it, like, you know. And so those boys have been around a few corners as well. They understand things, and so they're mature lads. And yeah, you know, it was the right decision for today, and we'll do everything we can now to get right. Okay, Orla.
Sorry, Orla. Sorry, Orla.
You're going to go again, were you?
No, I'm just going to ask you: is that nearly a more satisfying win than last week, when everything kind of goes your way, and this one you had to really tweak things and things you have to really work at it?
We definitely did. We definitely did. And you know, as I said earlier, we found a way from the half point on. You know. We found a way to improve, and we found a way to improve again, you know. So yeah, I suppose it's a tough question in many respects, because you would just prefer to get it done. But I suppose when you reflect on it, the character piece is always very important. You know, you're never over the line till you're over the line. And there was so many moments in that game where it could have fell either way. It was incredible, like, you know, for both teams. And so many big scores. Matty Donnelly kicked a monster there at one stage. And, you know, so yeah... you know, you just, I suppose the video analysis will be long. That's what I would say on it, and we'll have to then double down and get bodies ready for 2 weeks' time.
Talk about monster schools. There was a free towards the end where Gavin looked like he was going to fancy a shot at it, but Ryan took it short, and there was a bit of sort of discussion. Was that a call you made?
That was a call we made, but you know, there was one in the first half, like where there was a free called, and the play continued, and they brought it back. We felt we had one towards the end there, where there was a call made and Dara kicked the wide, and it could have been brought back, you know. So just, I thought there was a wee bit of you know, the consistency there, but apart from that, like, it was a tough game for ref. You know, it was a pure championship match.
Fellas outside the 26 too, you've been learning on the play in the club.
Yeah.
Why I suppose, because a lot of managers.
Well, everybody needs, you know, to keep the plates in the air. Everybody needs football, you know, and so, you know, that'll be things that we'll be looking at constantly. You know, you need people like Keelan that could step in and do a job, and we need to have as many of them as possible. So it's not about, like, wrapping people up, and, you know, them boys need to go, they need to play, and they need to come back, and then they need to get into training then and step again, you know. So I think that's something that I've always tried to do, you know. And fellas also need that release. If they don't feel that they're close as they want, they need that release to go and play a game and, you know, prove me wrong, you know. And that's fine, like, you need that. You definitely do need that.
Tony Gall, midfielder Michael Mangan. We struggled in commentary to catch our breath. So did the supporters. Wow, congratulations first on an incredible win. How are you feeling?
I'm ecstatic at the minute, but sore as well. You know, the extra time was tough there in a warm day, but you know, that's why we've been training hard during the week for days, I guess. And you know, you don't mind grinding your teeth to get a one like that there.
What's the one emotion leaving that one?
I think when you win a game, it's more relief. It probably shouldn't be relief, but you know, it's just relief getting over the line. You know, you're proud of the boys there, the way we dug in. And yeah, we've an Ulster final to look forward to now in 2 weeks and just can't wait for it.
How did you feel as a group after the 70 minutes? Normally be asking how do you feel after 35, but it was so frantic and so hectic. You mentioned the word relief maybe at full time. Was there a feeling of relief after the 70 as well?
I suppose the way we got the point, yeah, a wee bit of relief, but a wee bit of frustration there as well. You know, we didn't play the game we wanted to play, and credit to Tyrone, they didn't let us. But, you know, we felt that we had the legs there coming into extra time. We just had to show it. We probably had to get a few more runners through. We were probably hanging out in the 45 there looking for easy ball, which didn't help us. But, yeah, those runners through kind of helped us, and we chipped a few scores there, and it was just really pleasing to see the boys running up the pitch and kicking that point with Paddy.
So brilliant to win, but just a little bit maybe a frustration over the performance as a whole. And that, I would look at that as a good thing, yeah, if you're objectively looking at it.
Yeah, look, credit to Tyrone. Look, they probably watched their game against Derry, and you know, we were very good in the transition. Yeah, they dropped off a lot, they got numbers back and didn't let us play the game we wanted to play. But yeah, we sussed that out at half time and at full time. As I said, we wanted to get those runners through. When we got there, eventually we got over the line. And sometimes semi-finals are for winning, you know, they don't always have to be pretty, but yeah, we got there.
It's easy for us clowns up in the commentary box to talk about it. There were a lot of wides, weren't there? We counted maybe about 14, 15. That was probably frustrating, was it?
I think that's something we talked about at half time. You know, we were getting shots off, but it's probably in the wrong position. You know, they weren't in the scoring zone, as they say. We were kind of around the D, and they were a bit rushed. You know, it probably wasn't the right opportunity to shoot. And, you know, the panic was probably building a wee bit, and that's what we talked about at half time, trying to work the ball in towards the D into better shooting positions, and we thought the scores would come, and eventually that was very late, but we got there.
It's great to see you back flying, and if anybody was worried about your minutes, maybe over the past couple of weeks, you've just played about 83, 84 frantic minutes. How is the body feeling?
The body's sore there at the minute, but look, the injuries are kind of clearing up. Just looking across, I see myself and Gio. Look, we just want to stay on the pitch. But yeah, look, we've been doing a lot of training. I think the run-ins and the legs, and as I say, those that Derry game and this semi-final now will help.
I will say finally, I know you want to soak this one up first. There was an 8-day break last time from last week to today. At least now there's a 2 week break. I would say that you're happy about that, I'm getting the feeling.
Yeah, look, we'd only, I think it was a week or 8 days, but leaving Tyrone, they played extra time last week and they had even less. So it's probably something the GAA need to look at. You know, I think 2 weeks is probably suffice between games. A week's tough to get the analysis done and get the bodies right and to go again, you know. But yeah, look, we've 2 weeks now to an Ulster final. We just can't wait.
Michael, thank you so much for giving me your time, because there's so many Donegal supporters here that want to get a photo with you. You're really, really putting a smile back on Donegal supporters' faces again.
We just can't wait to see them again in 2 weeks' time.
You're a gentleman. Michael Langan, thank you so much for joining me here on the Donegal GA podcast. Delighted to be joined by St Tunan's and Donegal's. Man, everybody in the commentary box today, Mark McHugh, Peter Campbell, give you the man of the match today. Niall, you were absolutely incredible. How are you feeling after that one?
I sore now. It was a very tense game. Like, obviously, compared to last week and the week's turnaround and everything like that. But look, very, very, very happy man. Like, you can't ask for much more to be in an Ulster final. When we set out at the start of the year, that's where we wanted to be. And look, we're there now. And as I said last week, there was no silver handed out last week or today. But we'll just keep pushing. But obviously delighted with the win today.
Just talking to Michael Langan there, and he said just a completely different type of game today. Tyrone weren't going along with big massive kickouts. Tyrone just set up completely different, but so it was a different win, wasn't it?
It was a different win, and it's nice to kind of win in that different kind of way or whatever. But like, Tyrone kind of sat back, gave us a kickout for a majority of the game, and we had to try break them down. Didn't go too well the first half, went better for us the second half, and we just kind of edged it in an extra time. Obviously they were very fatigued on the basis of last week. So we had that going in our favour, but there wasn't a whole pile between the two teams, to be honest with you, at the very end.
Michael Langan used the word relief, and as I said a number of times, it's easy for us up in the commentary box. We're not playing, because there were a lot of wides kicked, weren't there? And if he's had to leave maybe with a defeat today, it probably would have been a tough one to take, because at large stages he's actually dominated the game, but just maybe wides are probably momentum killers. Did you feel like that?
On the pitch, like the first half, they frustrated us a lot, like, but when we got our chances we didn't take them, which was disappointing. Like, I know this year our efficiency has been fairly good in front of goal. Today was probably the first time that we kind of came across that, but look, I don't know, it's something we're going to have to work on now. The shooting was, I don't know how many shots we had in comparison to theirs, but we had to dig in, and that's the satisfying thing. And we dug in, and we eventually got through the right side of it, and that's all you can ask for.
Niall, on a personal level, you're absolutely flying. You've just had some incredible performances, and like, you've had your injuries over the past year and niggles. It's probably been stop-start from you in terms of your own progression because of those injuries. So you must be delighted on a personal level.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, when you kind of take that backward step, and obviously I wanted to come in this year and play as much as I could, and that didn't happen for the McKenna Cup or the league. But, you know, it kind of, when you're sitting back watching games, it's not easy. And when you're sitting in the stand, and I know the boys are the same, whoever's not playing, when you're thinking, when you get your chance, you want to grab it with both hands. And look, I sat on the stand long enough thinking if I was out there, I'd give everything. So I knew when I got my chance, I was going to leave absolutely everything on the field. So that's just like what I aim to do every week and see where that takes me, really.
And the last one, I know you want to go shower down and get back in. There's so many supporters here that want to talk to you. Are you delighted now with the two-week break as well? I know players love playing games, but at the same time, a week or 8 days is challenging, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it is. Like, and look, the league is week on week, and that's tough enough going too. But especially like for the likes of Tyrone, it's probably a bit unfair going to extra time last week and extra time this week. You know, but look, I think probably 2 weeks is probably a fair enough gap between most championship games, because you leave absolutely everything out there. And it was warm last week, it was warm this week. So look, glad of the two-week break, and we'll definitely use it to refresh the bodies anyway.
We're glad that you are in the form of your life and you joined me on the Donegal GA podcast. Thanks so much. And same to Michael Langer for giving up your time, because you just give up so much time. And proud Donegal man, we're delighted. Thanks, man. Okay, the final section of the Donegal GAA podcast. Delighted to be joined by Gordon Manning, of course, of the Irish Times, one of the top journalists in the country. Gordon, we've had Donegal guests on here, Donegal players, Jim McGuinness, and former players, etc. So we're obviously going to be completely biased. Please make sense of it all for us all.
Well, I think, look, Jim will be happy with the character of the guy he showed there, because in the first half in particular, Tyrone kind of dominated the game. And look, Matty Donnelly, for me, was the outstanding player on the field for the game. He kind of controlled the pace of it. He controlled the tempo of the match. And at half-time, Donegal kind of had to figure a few things out. And in fairness, in the second half, I thought they found a few holes. They ran at them a bit more. Ryan McHugh, Darrell Boyle kind of cut through a few times there, and they found a way through how to get through the Donegal or the Tyrone defence. And look, in the end, it showed serious character, because some of the decision making shooting wise wasn't really great. I felt today, like, it wasn't they weren't creating the chances, they just weren't executing them. But they stuck in there, hung in there, and at the end, you know, Brendan McCall was up there to pop over the equaliser. And in extra time, you just felt, whether it was Tyrone from last week having played the extra period as well, the legs weren't there. You just felt Donegal had more juice. And in extra period, I thought Donegal were the better team.
Was it an enjoyable game from a neutral's point of view?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was tense. Like, it was a real, it was edgy for the whole match. Like, I think Donegal got back level on 7 different occasions. So, like, after they went 2-1 up early on, and Donegal never went ahead again until the start of extra time. But before that, 7 different times Donegal got back level, but on each occasion thrown up the field and nudged in front again, and Donegal just couldn't get their noses in front during kind of normal time. But they hung in there and in fairness, like, I thought the changes then at the end of the game, like Darrell Boyle coming back in and McBrearty for the start of extra time, like, they made a difference. McBrearty again had a couple of misses today, but he showed the character again. He scored 2 points in extra time. Like,
that's always a great sign in a player, isn't it?
Yeah and, like, you know, when they, like, again, like, it was a very different game to last week, and so far as, like, I just felt Tyrone, it was kind of played at Tyrone's pace, Paddy, like, that they slowed the whole game down. They didn't want an injection of pace into it, and you could see even, like, it was an interesting tactic, I thought, with Ryan McHugh. Actually, he kind of seemed to, when Tyrone were in possession, he drifted back in front to Darragh Canavan to help Brendan McCall there, almost as an extra sweeper, and it was only, they made sure they had Sean O'Donnell on McHugh when he got the ball, so they didn't want him, because he was a man who could kind of create a spark and kind of burst a hole through the defence. And in the second half and in extra time, he started to do that more. And I felt that just in the first half, Tyrone controlled Donegal better, but Donegal just got kind of their game plan going, got to inject a bit of pace into it, because for the most part, especially when Matty Donnelly was pulling the strings, like, the
Niall Morgan as well.
Yeah, you know. So, like, and look, the kickouts were again completely different to last week as well. well. Like Tyrone just sat back and sat deep and allowed Donegal to have their kickouts. And look, the absence of Sean Patton before the game was obviously going to be a kind of a worry for Donegal, but Gavin Mulroney did very well.
Isn't it mad? And I know I told you 5 minutes. And by the way, thanks for listening to the podcast. I said 5 minutes, Gordon, and you said, no, I'm listening to your other podcast. Yeah, yeah. You're telling lads 5 minutes, a half an hour.
Right, long time listener, Paddy. Yeah. It's great. And a Sunday evening driving home from different parts of the country. Yeah, you're one of the only few podcasts that gets up there. But yeah, you've been lying to guys for months, telling them they'll only be on for 5 minutes, and a half an hour later, they're still there.
Thanks so much for the endorsement. I'll give you that €20 in cash later on. Just finally, because it is the last section here. As a whole, isn't it mad though? Donegal have beat Derry, who are still massive All Ireland contenders, going for three in a row in Ulster, they were, and Division One. Beat the Tyrone, such a season campaign, traditional county now, and only in an Ulster final against Armagh. Not only, but only as in, if that was anywhere else, you'd hope to be just cruising at this stage. But another big one now in 2 weeks. Where are Donegal at for you, looking objectively from the outside? You're on the helicopter surveying it all.
Well, I was inside there in the press box afterwards, just looking at the kind of Donegal fans on the pitch, and it just struck me, it's a huge contrast to where Donegal were 12 months ago. When you look at the kind of depths of despair and all the talk around the county, and there was just a bad feeling around the county at the time, even outside of it, just things looked bad in Donegal. And it's just turned. Now, I'm not saying Jim McGuinness is the man who's turned it all on his own, like, but certainly...
Yeah, he has.
like his return, like, has just... there seems to be confidence back in the county, and the mood out there, you could just, there's almost a county momentum going, a sway of people going with this team now, and they believe in them again. And like, to have got two big victories, like to have the Derry victory and now beating Tyrone, like to get to an Ulster final, like Donegal now, that squad must be huge confidence in what they're doing in training, that they believe in what they're working at, and like their season has changed now, so they're in an Ulster final, so there are going to be one or two seeds in the All-Ireland draw. Like, all of a sudden, like, your summer opens up ahead of you, and like nobody will want to play Donegal. Absolutely nobody will want to play Donegal in the All-Ireland series, and like there's no doubt that Donegal will be in the latter stages now after getting to the Ulster final. Like their summer has probably gone better than maybe many people could have imagined, but I just got that sense today that there's a county going with this team, and it's not too often that happens, like, but there seems to be real support for this group.
Everybody's in unison. Promise, this is the last one. Donegal are in an Ulster final. There's one thing, there's a lot of things I'm bad at. One thing I am good at, though, is fixtures, and I've me whole year mapped out. If you win, lose, possibilities. Losing actually an Ulster final would be disastrous for now Donegal after taking, because you would actually become a second seed. It means you could still get Kerry, you could get Dublin, Connacht champions. Derry are actually a third seed, so you could end up with, say, Dublin, totally hypothetical here, and the likes of Derry. You have to go on and win it now, because the carrot is better. You win Ulster, you get a first seed.
Yeah, but like there's still that lack of jeopardy insofar as three teams from each group. So like to be a second seed, like you're taking away a bit of risk already, like having got to a provincial final. So like I would say Jim McGuinness, his management team, and that group are extremely happy about how, like, their season couldn't have gone much better to where they are right now. If you look at it, and there's still a couple of players come back as well, Paddy, like, you know who's absent there. And with the momentum and with the kind of wave of support behind them and that feel good factor, like Donegal are in as good a place as any team right now in the country. And I would say, like, they've beaten two of the top teams in the country to get to a provincial final, and no team will have done that to get to their provincial final. They've won the Division 2 National League title, got promotion. We're here at the end of April, nearly start of May. I would say Donegal have ticked nearly all the boxes they would have wanted to.
You're a gentleman. You always tick every box. One of the finest journalists in the country, Gordon Manning of the Irish Times. Thanks for joining me on the Donegal GA podcast. 7 minutes and 8 seconds. We had 3 minutes grace, so thank you.
Thanks, Paddy. Take care.
Okay, that's it for the Sunday edition of the Donegal GAA podcast. Thanks a million to all my guests and to Austin O'Callaghan on production. Finally, a big shout out to you, our loyal listeners. Donegal will play Armagh in 2 weeks' time in the 2024 Ulster final. Until then, bye for now, stay safe, and we'll talk to you soon.